This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The folk songs of Jamie Anderson and Diane Davidson carry the story of a strong tradition among feminist musicians. For decades, the singer-songwriters were part of a movement that empowered women through the music industry. Today, Jamie Anderson and Diane Davidson continue to carry the flame. They're going to play with Deidre McCullough tomorrow at the Carrboro Arts Center. But first, they join me in the studio. Jamie Anderson on vocals, guitar, and mandolin. Diane Davidson on vocals and guitar. Welcome. Good to have you both here.
Thank you so much. It is great to be here. We're both big fans of the show.
I'm fans of your music, and I'm so happy that we finally got you on. We almost had you on a year ago.
Yes.
But tragedy struck. But so, yes. So here you are, and thank you. Tell us about the scene. Take us back, because I want to know, Diane, from you, how you got plugged into the scene that I just described.
Well, it's pretty interesting. I'm sort of backward in many ways from other people. I started out in mainstream music and then went into the women's music field through a singer-songwriter by the name of Nancy Vogel, who went to Nashville to record an album, Fight Like the Dancer, which is an awesome record, by the way. My friend Tracy Nelson and I did backup vocals on it, and she hooked me into the whole Olivia Records thing.
Well, tell us about that thing. What is that thing?
Olivia Records is one of the record companies that I think was most successful in recording and distributing music by majority lesbian artists. I would say pretty much everybody on Olivia was a lesbian. I can't think of anybody that... What were they?
Well, I haven't asked them all personally.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
Yeah.
You didn't sleep with... Oh, I'm sorry. it was a way for lesbians to be able to connect with each other through the music, because I mean they were used to hearing the boy girl songs on the radio, right. And this was a way for them to be able to express their own feelings in art in a way they'd never been able to before.
Well, Jamie, you got started touring in the late '80s, and I'm wondering what that scene looked like and whether the need to bring together lesbian artists under one label reflected any kind of discrimination in the music industry, or just a need to be able to tell your stories together.
Well, it was a combination of things. I mean, yeah, women's music came from that perfect storm of the second wave of feminism and gay liberation that all happened in the late 60s and early 70s. And so it was very necessary. And by the time I came along in the late 80s, there was a whole network laid out for me. There were venues, radio shows, stores, you know, all kinds of things that were ours. Mm-hmm. And it was really empowering for me as a feminist and as a lesbian, definitely.
You play some music for us now?
Sure.
You want to do Built for Comfort, or you want to do? We're trying to decide. We have a limited amount of time. We want to get the most bang for our buck. Let's do Built for Comfort. Okay, this is a blues tune that was written by Willie Dixon, and as I've often said, I like to think he wrote it for me, even though he didn't know me personally. Some folks are built like this, and some folks are built like that. The way I'm built now, don't you call me fat. Because I'm built for comfort, I'm built for speed. But I got everything that a good woman needs. Some folks rip and run, some folks just heave and sigh. To love me, baby, you just got to take your time. Your sweet soul, honey, I'm built for comfort. I ain't built for speed. Ooh. But I got every little thing that a good woman needs. More blues mandolin, please.
Diane.
It's my folk music.
It is. Well, there you go. And you were helped out by Blind Ralph Stanley.
Yeah.
You know, I am legally blind in one eye, so that's actually.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You didn't know you were going to offend and compliment
the
same person.
You know, in the course of an hour, you can't count the number of people I offend.
Half-blind Jamie Anderson. I kind of like that.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like that.
Well,
I like
it does that. Tell you how the artist can transcend the art and the instrument itself, depending on how it's deployed. But now, there's a song written by a man. It's
right.
A blues, right? And Jamie, you both write songs.
Yes.
And you're both part of an intentional music community in some ways. But what's your approach to songwriting? In other words, how much of this intentional community, being part of a women's movement, you know, makes its way into the songs?
Well, I think it depends on what I'm writing about. I mean, back in 1974, I did a record, and there was a lesbian love song on it. And the engineer I worked with said, I don't think that's going to fly. It's one thing for Joan Baez to sing Virgil Cain Is My Name, and it's another for you to sing a song about a woman. I said, well, I can't help it. I'm going to do that. And, you know, and I paid the price for that. I really did. Mm-hmm. But now I think, you know, I'm so comfortable with the gender issue. And I just write, I think for me personally, I write more songs about the human experience than I do so much of the political aspects. Jamie's a lot better at writing the political stuff than I am.
You're going to scare him.
Because she's, you know, half blind Jamie. You know what? I'm using that. I'm sorry.
Please do.
I'm not sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I lied.
What about that, Jamie? I mean, do you?
Well, in the early years, I wrote a lot more political material. Often it was comedy because, you know, if you approach something in a comedic way, people take it a lot easier. And I've moved more into being a singer-songwriter in the last few years, but that hasn't stopped me from writing the political stuff. I have a really great song that the reoccurring line is, I moved to Canada for health, for love and a health card, because I like to do a little bragging since I live in Canada now.
Yes, and do you have any extra rooms?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking my guest room is going to go for a lot of money pretty soon.
I'm willing to pay it.
I have an Arab bed. I'm thinking it's going to...
Get a fly north.
Sure, come on up.
They don't build a wall, which they should, because, you know, we'll all be there. Could you play another song for us?
Sure, absolutely. What would you like to do?
Speaking of funny, maybe I'll just do one of mine.
Oh, yeah, good, good.
Yeah, that sounds great. You're going to lose the mandolin.
Switching instruments here, because the mandolin is a terrible solo instrument.
I have an 11-year-old son, and he goes on these gigs with me, and the first one he did with Jamie, that Jamie was on, he said, Mama, that Miss Jamie writes some weird songs. I said, I know, honey. Later on, you'll laugh at them a little more than you do now.
From the mouths of babes. Say she makes all your dreams come true. She's funny and smart and loves all you do. She might pop the question, you know you'll say yes. Do you wonder why all your friends look distressed? We know she's pretty and you have lots of fun. But take our advice, run. Let us remind you of a few facts. She has 3 dogs and 38 cats. 30 UI and she's back in jail. You'll spend all your money on cat litter and bail. She hasn't worked since 2001. Take our advice, run. Remember the time that guy totaled your truck? And she said, well, can't your sister pick you up? And you weren't even surprised or dismayed when all she wanted was pot for Valentine's Day. She has the seven dwarfs tattooed on her bum. Take our advice, run. Listen to us now. You gotta let her go. Yeah, she's great in bed. Don't ask how we know. We've got a petition. It's signed by everyone. Tell her it's over and done. And run.
Jamie Anderson performing her song Run. Diane and Diane Davidson's with us. They're going to be performing with Deidre McCullough tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the Carrboro Art Center. I'm never going to get the Seven Dwarves out of my mind now.
I know, isn't it scary?
It is. You know,
and there's somebody out there that actually does have that, I'm sure.
Actually, that's how I found that line, because I needed an imperfect rhyme with run. And so I Googled ugly butt tattoos, and someone actually has one of those.
This is secrets to songwriting.
What did
this
we
is kind of great.
Google?
Speaking of imperfect rhymes, I'm glad that you found an imperfect rhyme with truck, because you scared the life out of me.
Yeah, I know. You know what? And I've heard the song before, and it still scared me.
It does. Then it kind of works you up
time,
a little bit.
It's just like,
here we go.
Well, I have to tell her, watch her language. She is a little bit of a.
Hey, you know what? Time for just a little more chatter, because I want to hear another song. But this, now that our governor and legislature have made us the bathroom state,
absolutely.
But I want to tell you, you've got kind of a bathroom story about when it was not as easy to be out and lesbian playing in bars and gigs, right?
You know, when I was I started women's music, which is all good and cozy, and everybody understood where I was coming from. But then I started to branch out into folk venues, because I am a folk singer, and that, you know, that's just natural. And some of the things I would hear for the reasons not to book me, you know, they were afraid the lesbians would show up, and I don't know what would a group of lesbians do. But one guy told me, "Oh, I'm afraid all my regular patrons would end up huddled in the bathroom." Dude, really?
you have a speaker in the bathroom? Because, you know.
What an odd reaction to that.
Yeah. Well, acoustics are really good in a bathroom. I could take my guitar in there.
Well, you were underage, right, at a bar, and you've got a story about having to.
Oh, well, that was the thing, too, is that, you know, when I was a teenager, I was an out lesbian, and in the 70s, that was a really hard thing. So there were only two things for out lesbians then. You could either play softball, or you could go to the bar. Well, I was underage, and I didn't play sports, so I got a fake ID. I hope Mom's not listening. And there were a couple of times I hid out in the bathroom, because that was in the 70s, and that was just a couple of years after they quit raiding the bars. And so, you know, that I was just talking about this with someone the other day, is that in spite of things like HB2, you know, those of us who have been out for a long time and have seen great changes, mm-hmm. we have great hope.
Mm-hmm. You do. I mean, because
there's great hope.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can knock us down, although the kids might feel that way. You know, us old grannies here, well, you're not, but I am, have seen it. I mean, I was part of that scene when the police would shake down everybody coming out of the bars and, you know, bust the bars, and all we were doing was in there having a beer, playing pool, you know. And so, when we discussed whether or not to even continue with the show, we decided that, you know, we need to be there to show folks that there's an opportunity for coming together and having this conversation. And our bathrooms will be very friendly at this show.
Hassle-free bathrooms. Thank you,
Hassle-free. Yeah.
That and great music. What more could you want? I'm going to leave you time to play us out, but first let me thank you, Jamie Anderson and Diane Davidson, for being on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. This has just been a great experience, and I always have fun with Half Blind Jamie. So.
They're going to be playing with Deidre McCullough tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Carrboro Arts Center. You can find out more about the show at our website, stateofthings.org, a program that is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, and Charlie Shelton Ormond. Robin Copley is our technical director with help from Al Wadarski today. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stasio. Once again, Jamie Anderson and Diane Davidson.
You always thought
your mother knew, though you never said a word. You always thought that she'd come through, but I guess she never heard. When you said those words out loud, you thought she'd be okay. You asked for love and her support, but she just turned away. Not enough. Illness over.